rid of that, because I will be leaving here at 3 o'clock. You guys will end up being able to talk about Agenda Item 19 until your heart's desire.
Thank you.
I'll try to get you out, get us out by 3 also, if you want to work towards that end. Okay? All right. So let's do number 20, Mr. Harris.
So 20 is a short discussion about agenda format. You know, we've been making some changes to the agenda as we go forward. And I thought maybe today, instead of talking about the format per se, that we might talk about time management. And the reason for that is, now having participated with two regional boards, they all seem to have the same problem with time management. And
those are exceptional regions.
Those are exceptional regions, yeah. And so what I would like is, I would just like to hear from the board, maybe if they have some ideas about how we can. We thought, actually, staff, we were very thoughtful about this agenda and only put the two items on, thinking that a day for two items would be more than adequate. And last night, you know, it went till 9, and that was even a struggle, I think, for us to close it down at that point. So I would like if you guys want to leave it, you know, you want to keep having the late meetings, that's certainly your prerogative, but if you'd like to, you know, try to get us out at a more reasonable time, and I think for members of the public, I think it's, I feel bad for a lot of them who are here late and they have families and they have children, and we're dragging it way past the 5 o'clock hour. We have staff, and of course with staff who are hourly, that means they can't come in and work a full day the next day because they can't work more than 40 hours. So any suggestions you have,
you had reviewed that with me.
The agenda.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I thought that we could easily do the two items, and we did anticipate we're going to need the better part of a day to do it. We needed more than that. So, you know, we can look. Yeah, we that's right. We didn't. So, I mean, you know, the I'll throw out a bunch of possibilities. I mean, the first one, I'll be facetious about this, limiting board member questions, being facetious. Okay, I don't like that at all. I'm just throwing it out there. But
can we still have unlimited comments?
Huh?
Can we?
I think that's a good point. Yeah, that goes hand in hand, I think. With an item like this with ag, I intentionally wanted to go overboard with that and give them their speaking time. You know, if it wasn't something related to ag, I would have been a lot, you know, more careful with time. But well, do you guys want to have a cutoff at a certain hour with a board meeting?
Regardless?
Yeah, regardless. Do you want to say, look, we're never going to go beyond 7 unless it's something exceptional? That's a possibility.
I don't, because if we would have done that last night,
we would have said.
Then we would have had to do it again today.
Yeah.
And then we'd all go home and have to come back, okay, reassemble for another meeting, right, on the same topics.
Okay. I don't have a problem with how we've been doing it myself, because I think that we try to gauge where we can cut things off at an opportune time. You know, either we try to get all the staff report finished, or we get public comment finished and then stop, which is what we attempted to do last night. We did. I think that's the way to handle it, but let's weigh in, you guys. Do you want to make any changes? Dr. Wolf.
Well, I don't think we should necessarily have an allocation of time or number of questions, but I do agree that we need to make each of us a conscientious effort in limiting our questions, and some of the questions sometimes seem to become so much minutiae, they really do not necessarily add to, I think, to the value of democratic process. One thing that I think would be beneficial is that sometime when we have presentation from staff, I think it would be good to try to hold back the questions a little bit until staff had a chance to give their presentation, because it's not effective. It does not allow, as a board member, to really see the big picture and then realize, oh, okay, these are some of my key points. And I don't think it adds necessarily to the proper flow of the information by then having a very chopped up presentation. And it probably also, in a sense, makes it difficult for staff because you got the interruption, you got to answer the question, you got to go back to the point you were trying to make. So a suggestion, and I'm not saying it should be a golden rule, but I would suggest that we try, you know, to allow the presentation. If it's going to be a two-hour presentation, it's a different story. But, you know, some presentation like yesterday, we probably could have waited for the whole delivery.
What about waiting for more questions until after public comment?
Yeah, and
I'm just
absolutely.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That too, because I think by then having all the information from staff, from the public, it helps us then to really see the big picture and having a more complete set of information and hearing the concerns.
Sometimes we want a little clarification on something we're hearing and it's not, we're not following it.
I think clarification is different than, you know, asking questions that require a couple of minutes of answers.
Mike?
I think those are good suggestions. And I was actually thinking of the same thing in terms of people who come and make public comment. We have in fairness, we stop the clock whenever we ask a question, but we have a tendency to interrupt people who are making public comment and ask them for comment, for respond to something in the middle of their time. I think it's more efficient. I like the idea of letting staff finish there, unless there's real kind of clarification. Are you talking about the state permit or the regional permit? Letting them finish their presentations. If they are multi-part, multi-area presentations, maybe staff can organize the presentations so that there's a time after, each section. But I think that is more efficient. I like the idea on some issues. I think it makes sense, if we're going to, let's say the ones we dealt with today on the lead stormwater stuff and on the Morro Bay sewage plant, I think it would be helpful to let staff talk, get public comment, and restrain ourselves until either after public comment or in some cases, maybe we should even wait till after everybody's spoken before we ask questions of individuals who spoke. Because if it's their issue, they're generally not going to leave. I think that's partly discipline on the part of board members, and that's partly on the chair to make that happen. And you're a very liberal chair, which I appreciate a lot. But we take advantage of you at times too.
Sometimes people leave the room. I mean, they leave. If we got a big group of people, sometimes they want to speak, and we don't know that they're going to leave. They're going to be gone.
True.
It's. I'm open to any suggestion you guys want to do in terms of handling this.
But like the lead stuff today.
Yeah.
There was five people who came to speak to us.
Right.
They weren't going to leave till they heard what we did.
I think we could
have let them all talk, because some of it's like, Ken said, well, you're the first person I've heard it from, and then it turned out the next two were going to say the same thing, or maybe they weren't going to speak until you said that.
With small groups like that, we could certainly all wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some of it's judgment. But.
Bruce?
I thought last night public comment on, it was a mix of the annual compliance form and the TMDL because they were leaving early.
Yeah.
We had 20 minutes to a half an hour per person up at the podium.
Right.
And so my overall suggestion is very brief, and that is that we review how the Coastal Commission and the Department of Fish and Game Commission do their meetings, because they don't have this issue, and they have a very strict, 2 minutes, put in your card like we do, whereas we're letting them send in their letters and then talk about everything in their comments, where we all need to be more responsible, including myself, but also the public probably needs to be more responsible in the preparation for the meeting. They get the agenda, whatever, a month in advance or whatever it is. They need to provide their lengthy comments in writing in advance, and then provide their oral comments to be very brief and summarily, you know, summarizing what their written comments were. Because this is not supposed to be, like at a coastal commission, your only bite at the apple. This is just supposed to be a very brief synopsis.
Mike.
What?
Russ.
I'll start, and then I'll let Russ be kinder, okay? So I would definitely endorse a end time. I think going to 9, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning is just crazy.
You wanted to go beyond that, though. You suggested, let's just finish it.
Absolutely not. You're that mixing night. Me up with somebody else.
Okay.
and as you know, I am used to way more of a structured environment than this. And I endorse heartily what Bruce just said. The burdens on the public commenter to get their point across in whatever their amount of time is, 2 or 3 minutes. They should, if they feel they need more time than that, they should be submitting written documents, whether in advance or at the meeting, and let us look at it. I also think that a proper structure, the best structure would be staff presentation, our questions, public comment, so that the public comment can also address our questions that we brought up, and then staff re-presentation, and then deliberation. But I think a cap on the minutes would be really good. And it's also public comment. It's not public question and answer. Yesterday I witnessed somebody basically, somebody basically interviewing staff members at the table as to why questions were put on, why were the questions like this. And that is not a public comment function, in my opinion. And I think we get exactly what we allow to happen. And that's a 9 o'clock meeting or a 1 o'clock meeting in the morning. So if you don't want that to happen, I think you just clamp down on it a little more.
You know, I think what I should have done is to, you know, I wanted to give the ag folks ample time to address us because of the issues we've been dealing with. And, you know, we had some people show up that we've never had before, specifically because we told them in advance, this is an item that we're going to try to get resolved. And I wanted to hear everything that they had to say. Now, I think with some of them, I should have enforced a 10-minute rule or something like that and tried to tie it up. You know, it would have been helpful to do. I get tired after a while with you guys.
But how do you open up to a certain constituency on a certain meeting that doesn't... I don't think that's a good pattern or a good habit.
Well, and not do it all the time,
or not do it for everyone during that meeting. You know, you like.
Well, we would do it for everyone who wanted to talk at that meeting. I mean,
well, I thought yesterday we were being short when the beeper went off with some people, and then other people had varying degrees of time.
Yeah, I don't think with the ag thing, I really enforced. The light wasn't even going off.
No, there was no light. I know.
Yeah. I mean, this thing was worthless to begin with.
Well, we had two TMDL comment periods. The first TMDL comment period was sort of open-ended.
Right.
And then when, I think it was Mark Adams got up, I may be getting his name wrong. Before he got up, it was someone said, well, be brief.
I was being mindful of the hour, and it was ticking away, and I decided to try to contain it. Yes, Mike.
I think we should avoid, you know, if we can compress the time of the meetings, and I agree with my tocayo over there, Mike Jordan. I endorse a cutoff time too. You know, but I think we should avoid saying, okay, so you have to be out of here by 3, so you can we'll kind of stop everything we're doing and do public comment on something that's not going to come up till 4. I think if we can be a little more disciplined about time, it's a very reasonable expectation to make that people look at where things are on the agenda and that people wait till their agenda item to comment on it.
There are Santa Barbara County, I can tell you, for example, puts a cap on public comment, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, regardless of the number of speakers. It's on their agenda. There is a cap, and the time you will be allotted to will depend upon the number of speakers there are. So if there's 45 speakers, you get a minute. If there's 20 speakers, you get 2.5 minutes. And I'm sure there's some discretion there, but that's clearly laid out in front. Now, that's a little harsh, but other people are harsh, and we're kind of like over here, and there's somewhere in the middle that's probably better.
What about, I've seen this at Coastal Commission hearings, I don't know if they still do this, but once you submit your speaker card, they have a cutoff on the submission of speaker cards. Mm-hmm. And I frequently get cards coming in after we've already started the agenda item.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or after public comment.
After public comment, yeah.
No one in the room included in that description.
Yeah. I mean, stack up in his pocket.
should we adopt a rule? Do you guys want to adopt a rule that we do something like that? That we make people get here and submit a speaker card, and then once we start the agenda item, that's it. We're going to know how many cards we've got.
Well, I think if you look at how other commissions do it successfully, the way that we want to do it, then you can come back and tell us what your suggestions are, and in one swoop we can say yes to several and no to a couple, but the goal being to be like those commissions that have meetings the way that you want them.
So could we, if we put something working with staff and working with Jessica, we put together basically a set of maybe ground rules that become part of the standard agenda package that outline the conduct of the meeting, not so much what you've got here, but how we're going to do time management, bring it back to you guys for review the next time under this, our agenda topic for consideration. We can just kind of play with it a little bit and see how it works.
Would there be some review of other commissions?
Yeah, we'll look around and see what others are doing, if they have published, especially if they have some published guidelines or whatever on there. Because I know some cities and things will actually, if you go to their websites, they actually publish exactly how they're going to conduct the meeting in terms of time management. Yeah.
One little detail I didn't mention, and that sometimes board comments before you go to public comment really help the public understand where we're coming from, and it might motivate them to say some things, but not to get so long. The way that our city does it is, as Mike said, staff uninterrupted, questions to staff from board members, then brief comments, and that's considered, 30 to 60 seconds max from each person. That'll kind of give the public a feel for where we're coming from, and then when the motion is made, then there's more extensive comments. But that's a chair responsibility to say, excuse me, this is for brief comments, can you please wrap it up, to the board members. Because sometimes they're not brief.
I was intrigued by board member Jordan's comment about taking the number of speakers, allocating time, and dividing it among them. It's very efficient, but it's.
Agenda items. We have allocated time based on the number of cards we've got.
Okay.
So we've done it when we've had to do it. But if you don't give me a speaker card, Steve, and I'm going to speak on this item. So you got up and you're walking around. And
I don't want to raise the tree, but
yeah.
I don't know the number of the public.
Yeah. This is a public item.
When we're done commenting, then we'll hear public comment.
Okay. So I think you guys could come up with a list of things we go over and check off, if you want, but. Certainly we can go ahead. From what I'm hearing, we'll have staff presentation uninterrupted, except for brief questions for clarification purposes. Mm-hmm. And then we will go into, after the presentation, some board quick questions, comments, and then we can go into public speakers. Mm-hmm. Let that go all the way through, and then we'll get into our extensive questioning.
Staff reply
to the public comment. Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair.
I
think the idea of a cutoff point, given especially that we are now holding two-day meetings. So the first day of that two-day set, we should stop at 7.
Okay.
Because especially in San Luis Obispo, I think one of the issues, and I was real aware of it, I mentioned it to Bruce, there aren't that many restaurants where you could still get a meal after, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Like last night.
So that's nice. Practical side
you
of...
You should have come out with us, Monica.
We found one place that was open.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Write it down. I have never found one open after 9.
Yeah.
Unless it's just a saloon. Did you eat at the saloon?
No, two doors down from...
some topless joint.
Okay. Anyway, I think the cutoff time for the two-day meeting should be 7. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone in agreement with that? 7?
Is that just the first day? Or the
first day of a two-day meeting. Mike?
Sure.
Sure?
Yeah.
7? Russ?
Well, I was just going to point out that when we go to Watsonville, especially when we use the city council chambers, we have to be out there by 5.
Yeah.
And we always seem to make that.
Yeah.
So why is it so much more difficult to handle it here? And I think one of the other things that we have issues with, and I can remember as being when I was chair, the public forum would last 3 or 4 hours. We had busloads of people coming in. So, you know, and I would say don't be redundant. Be precise in what you, and then get up and say the, you know, 15 people would say the same thing over and over again. And I'd just like to say one thing to the staff. For the 20 years I've been on here, you guys have done a wonderful job. Because I can remember when the staff reports used to be not very good. And I think, you know, Lisa and Harvey and John and some of the others have, over the years, have improved that with their people underneath them and giving their reports. And I want to thank you for that. But I think this board could do some discipline within ourselves. We don't have to speak at every person that gets up to the podium. And Moss Landing, the way I work it there, is that the staff introduces the issue. I go to the public, and I limit them to 3 minutes. There is no comment by the board members until there's a discussion period by the board, and then I bring it to a vote. And it's boom, 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 boom. I mean, it may take an hour for the whole process, but everybody gets their shot. Everybody understands what they're supposed to do. Everybody kind of follows in order. And it's difficult to be the chair because, and I said this yesterday, it's not easy to sit there, and we're a public agency. We're one of few agencies that go up and down the regions and be able to have the public have contact with us. And they feel that this is their opportunity. And how can you cut those folks off? The only way you can really cut them off is with time. And I know that I have many times that, you know, I got 50 cards. If you give them 3 minutes,
Yeah. That's
3 hours. Because you can say, well, that's 150 minutes. But that doesn't work because there's questions in between. There's people that get up. There's people that sit down. There's back and forth. And all that happens. So, you know, nobody likes to sit here for 12 hours at a time or 16 hours or 18 hours. Sure, I get big pay for this job. That's my responsibility. I ask for it. Like, you know, my wife says, don't complain because you asked for it. Well, that's true, and I did. But I think we have to be fair, and we have to be equal. I think you've heard me folks say before, we have to be fair, and we have to be equal to everybody. And once you set that plateau, eventually it's going to level out. So time setting, let's set it for 5 o'clock. We can meet in Watsonville. Why can't we meet it here? Mm-hmm. Now you said, well, we only put 2 items on the agenda. But you have to think of what 2 items you put on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Now if you put Los Osos on the agenda, it ain't going to happen. If you put the egg order on the agenda, it ain't going to happen. If you put the TMDL for the Lower Salinas River? It ain't going to happen. I can just tell you that. And I looked at the agenda. In fact, I talked to Ken. I said, oh, we got a light agenda. I knew what his response was going to be, because anytime you've got a looks like a light agenda, it's a long agenda. Yeah. When you got a big, thick one, it's going to go fast. So I think us board members have to have more constraint. I think the staff can probably hone in on their presentations a little better. We as board members have to help the chair and the vice chair to orchestrate the meeting as it goes, the flow of the meeting. And, you know, the chair has to step up and say, I'm sorry, but you're being redundant as a previous speaker. And please sit down. You know, I mean, because you go to other, you go to board of supervisors, you go to city councils, and Bruce, you're being a mayor, you know how that goes. If you give them 5 minutes and open-ended, they're going to take an hour. If you give them an hour, they're going to take 2 hours. So, but it's important that we hear it from as many people as we can and be fair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. That's my speech for the day.
One thing I wanted to add, just a little bit of information, some of the, I don't know if it's criticism or concern that I did get back from the governor's office on ag was that 3 minutes was just not enough time for us to be giving to people, and that they wanted to know why we couldn't at least offer more time so that these people with these issues and concerns could feel like they're being, you know, fully heard.
Well, people come from a long distance.
Well, they do, because we're long and narrow, you know.
Well, yesterday, for example, you know, I when staff and I put the agenda together, and we were very cautious about just putting two items on the first day, but the first item went to like 4 o'clock.
Yeah. But we had had an hour's discussion or more, 2 hours discussion on the TMDL by 4 o'clock too, even though that item wasn't up yet.
By speakers that had the lead.
Any other thoughts, you guys, before we allow Mr. Shimmick to speak? Jean-Pierre?
You know, one other area we need to be aware of when we have meetings until 9 is that some people are morning people and some people are night owls. And I think it's very dangerous sometimes to try to make critical decisions late. If you play back the tape of last night, 9 o'clock, we were just a smidge, and a smidge is just 2-3 millimeters, away from having a vote. And I recall clearly, I said, I have one more question. Do we have any unintended consequence in the language by making the removal of one sentence, you know, which was the yellow highlighted item? Then came the conversation, well, yeah, because we use the term mass, and how do we measure that? Then we start getting this little discussion and say, whoa, you know, we need to hold off. Well, we were very close to try, okay, let's wrap this up. You know, maybe we can make the final decision. So I think, you know, it's kind of a slippery road trying late in the evening to make decisions. And some of us are a little more awake at that time than others, but in general, I don't think it's a prudent way of making, you know, some in some case irreversible decisions.
You know, the state board, there were a couple of instances where they tried to do things on the fly and made mistakes, and actually had to bring, even though after the item was adopted, they had to bring it back to the board because they had done things on the fly. So you do need to be careful. And I know last night I was losing it by 9 o'clock. I wasn't worth anything. And so. That's a very good point.
Thank you. Bruce.
Most cities and counties, 3 minutes is probably the most common. We had that for 35 years in our city, and we were constantly cutting people off at the three-minute mark. They weren't done. So we went to 4 minutes, and since then we've been extremely strict. You know, at 4 minutes, everybody gets cut off mid-sentence, sit down, because we've gone from 3 to 4. I'm just suggesting that whatever you do, you can be strict about it. And once they learn that it's strict for everybody, then they understand. And to respond to the governor's office, I would say, look at how these other commissions are doing it. You know, when you have a regional commission with lots of agenda items that are pretty meaty, you depend more on advanced in-writing communiques than the last-minute oral communiques.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
When you have constituents of a particular item complaining directly to the governor's office about access to the board and being able to get their story across, that creates a different dynamic, I think, for us to react to.
I would think Coastal Commission has the same possibility.
They are more autonomous than we are. Their members are appointed by the legislature, only a portion by the governor, and then by the Senate. So the governor's not too happy with the Coastal Commission, but he's got a lot of control over us, all of us, each one of us.
Good point.
So it's tough, you know.
It's tough.
So if the standard is 3 minutes, but if you have an item, let's say the ag items from now on, you want to give them 5 minutes or whatever, we probably should indicate in the actual item that speakers will be allowed 5 minutes so that they know they can prepare their comments, hopefully. And that way they're forewarned that you're going to have 5 minutes, but so prepare your comments appropriately.
Oh, we've had people that you've told them that, and they just keep on talking. And you tell them that their time is up, and they just keep on talking. And the only way you can do that is if you have law enforcement here to grab them. Right. And I'm not kidding. We've had people, and I've told them. In fact, I think one time I said, okay, we're going to take a break. We just left them there because they would not stop. They said, I'm here, I'm a public member, and I can talk as long as I want.
I will do a better job cutting heads off, if that's what you want. All right.
And now we'll do a good job dialing.
Okay. Can we listen to Mr. Shemek?
How much time does he have?
30 seconds.
30 seconds, Steve.
Two minutes.
Steve Shemek, The Otter Project, very quickly. First of all, I endorse the fact that it is not a public speaking is not a interchange between you, between the speakers. I'm used to his. I haven't spoken in front of his board. I'm used to that rule. In fact, on the SAC for a little while, Sanctuary Advisory Council, we were instructed. I sat on a Sanctuary Advisory Council. We were instructed to sit there, stone faced, not even react, and never ask a question. Just let the person sit down. Second, the strategy of turning your card in last is simply a strategy. You know, and if I know the rules that it's going to be cut off when public comment starts, I will abide by that rule and have my card in on time. Also, I think that the whole idea of the interchange, frankly, starts soliciting more comment cards coming in, because that's just, you know, you've opened the door. So no interchange during public comment, cutting people off until you have the problem of the person not sitting down, you know, then you've got that problem. But cut the person off at 3 minutes, and that's fine. Tell them to sit down. Frankly, I think if you do that for a little while, the quality of your written comments will be better because people won't use their time at the podium as a time to sit there and have a dialogue with you. I don't know what to say about the governor's office. I know what I would say, but I'm a little different position. frankly, you know, that's a very unfair comment. You gave agriculture plenty of time. The process gave agriculture plenty of time. That was an unfair comment by the governor's office. I'm sorry for that. My final thing is, as far as your comments, I'm used to kind of an unwritten rule of two times up and down the dais, and then you're done. And that has to be done amongst yourselves as an unwritten rule of, look, we're not going to go five times up and back and forth down up the dais. kind of limited to two. It'll make you guys sharper. From my perspective, I would much rather have a tightly run meeting.
Mr. Shemek.
Instead of.
Thank you.
And predictability.
Thank you for your comments.
Oh, here's my comment. Another tree.
Does staff have any comments? Lisa, Harvey, Matt, anyone else?
How do you like being interrupted?
Allison? Okay.
No one else say anything? I've watched meetings for a long time from over there, not being involved. And a lot of times the staff reports are thick and there's a lot of information there. And sometimes it comes across the question that was answered by the board is in the staff report.
Right.
And if there's a question on the staff report, Roger came up with the facts, the frequently asked questions for the board members. Send us the questions before the meeting. We'll give you the answer, and then you don't have to take up board time to do it.
Right. You're right. Michael.
I have two comments. The first one is food. It's really important to think about leaving staff and public break for food as well as you guys eat, even if you're going to go late. The second one is in the context of yesterday, I think it's fine if you want to have certain items that are in a more workshop forum. We've done that many, many times. And that might provide the opportunity to be a little more fluid, a little more conversational, or however you want to handle it. But you agendize that then, and you do that in a window of time that isn't going to impact your other items.
Michael.
As someone who was observing yesterday, I wasn't participating hardly at all, but just observing, is that I don't think that public speakers, there's a lot of emphasis in this discussion on public speakers and the amount of time they're taking up. And I don't think that is usually the issue. I think that yesterday, I say this with all due respect, that the board members wanted to make statements, quite a few statements, at different times during the meeting, and they tended to be long statements. And when one board member would make a statement about, and it could be philosophical or how they see things, it prompts another board member to follow that with their philosophical view, which prompted another board member to follow that with theirs. And each time a board member did that, I got a stack of cards. So while it prompts, this is similar to what Steve was saying, I think, it prompts a board member response, a board member statement prompts another board member's response. It's a human nature thing. And because you get your fellow board members amped up, right? They want to respond to it. So does the public. So we can generate speaker cards. And that's one observation. So it's how much do you want to talk? And then I think it would be good for the board to think about how does that change anything? What's the outcome you're after? And does that talking and saying what your philosophy is, does it change anything? And I think that Michael Jordan's comments about how they're running the meetings that he participates in, I think there's a difference there, and I think he was alluding to that when he was talking, that there's a difference between how those meetings are being run and what the board members are doing. But think about the outcome. If the outcome is the document or the order that you are adopting, that's the ultimate outcome. Is it changing? And then if all that talk results in wordsmithing, a slight change, is it worth it? Is there really a difference between what is proposed and what is ending up being adopted? What's really the difference between the two? And I think that if you put a curve up there of diminishing returns, you know, if we put that up on the board, where are you on that curve? Where you want to be at the point where you're putting in just enough energy to get a good result. If you're going way past that, you're spending a lot of time and a lot of energy and not getting very much gain. And I think the board is way over here. You're way past diminishing returns, putting a lot of energy and a lot of effort, and the product is not that much different. And that TMDL and that discussion we had yesterday is a good example of that.
That raises a kind of a question for me to throw out to the rest of you. Should we impose some kind of limit on the number of times each of us have to ask questions when a speaker gets down? Well, if someone's up there, and frequently I'll go up and down, and I mean someone will comment, and then someone over here, and then I go back to the same person on one side, and it may be two or three times that person has had to ask questions. Do you want me to limit that so that with each speaker, you know, we each get one crack at questions, and then you'll just have to save it, Michael?
Well, what I might suggest is that I mean, it's inevitable that there are some subjects that one board member is more prepared on or knowledgeable about or interested in, but to stop the kind of conversation stuff, I might suggest that you simply move from one end to the other, and then if there are still board members who have things to say, you can do it again. But I think that might help avoid the kind of take turns raising our hand and go boom, 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 because then it means that I save up what I have to say, and when it's my turn, I say it. And maybe I do have something to say at the end, too, but it'll, I think it compresses it a little bit.
Okay.
My thought.
That's easy to do. What about a time limit? Do we want to limit ourselves to a minute or 2 minutes in asking questions of a speaker? Or should that be kind of just open-ended at that board member's discretion to limit themselves?
See, I think you have to exercise some control as the chair there, because that's a hard thing to really pin down.
Yeah.
It may be that it's a situation where, you know, you really need to let Jean-Pierre or Mike or Monica or myself or whoever move with it, you know, because there really is a line that they're following that's productive, or it may be that we're just into kind of orating. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's it's a little bit of a judgment call for the chair there. I don't know if we can be mechanical about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the subject matter is what's going to dictate the appropriateness, you know, of the time of the question, etc. Having said that, I will make a philosophical comment to Michael. So this is not a philosophical question, which, you know, sometimes with my Frenches might have difficulties,
yes,
in articulation. But I think we need to be careful to still use a participatory style. I would be very uncomfortable turning these meetings into, well, this is the order, just, you know, read it, and if you don't understand, you should have done your homework in advance. And I'm caricaturing this to try to make my point that, you know, all of you, I mean, this is your full-time job, and some of you, when you speak, you've worked on this project for 9 months. I haven't. And although, you know, I feel comfortable around, you know, scientific terms, etc., I mean, I really have to put myself on turbocharge to, you know, to pick up this and try to do a fair job. So I think there's also the need to understand that, you know, we're not at the same level of competency as the rest of you. So if sometime at the meeting, when we ask questions and you say, well, gee, that was in page 45. Why you should know this. You know, we're not on the same plain level field. So, and to support a little bit, you know, the comment that our chair said, I think there's also still the public perception. I mean, water is probably one of the most critical issues in our state. And I'm not, you know, disputing that Santa Barbara, you know, the Planning Commission, you don't have critical things. But here we're talking about drinking water. We're talking about, you know, key issues of livelihood. And I think we still need to wait so we come across, you know, as human being and not just policy pushers. So there's a balance, I guess. So.
Well, we can all improve how we conduct the meetings, and I will do my part to adhere to a more regimented procedure in terms of just making sure that we're not asking questions when we've now agreed that we're not going to ask questions, and try to keep to the time allotment. Take their heads off. Monica.
I think the only thing I wanted to add, and I agree with, you know, in terms of just kind of circling around looking at different options that we could consider, and I would like to see us be more efficient, but I do support Jean-Pierre's philosophical views on the importance of the process. But there's another constraint here, and that is we don't get to talk to staff anytime we please. I might be preparing for 10 days. I can send in my questions in a written format, and I do try to do that when I feel that I can even articulate the question. Sometimes it's a leap, so until I'm actually here. But I have to have the ability to dig deeper with that staff person. And I think transparency of that process is one of our strengths. So, you know, I think we can all show restraint in terms of thinking through and being really prepared for those questions. But I will tell you that this concept that we've done more recently of prepping for the bigger items in a briefing, if I had not sat down with Pete and Chris Rose to just kind of get at some of the nugget questions I had so that I had a really good grounding in how that TMDL was designed and the arguments that were being pushed forward, I would have had to do that in this room. So I do feel that that has great value for preparing for the more complicated hearing items that we have. So I would like to see that continue.
Yeah, I think that will continue. I agree, because I'm so used to it at the state board. We brief the board members. We offer briefings on everything that's on the agenda, then they tell us what they want to hear. I was asking Jessica, you know, one, I think ending at 7 the night, the first night, will make a huge difference. The other thing was the status reports and discussion items is maybe putting some language in there that, you know, depending on how much time we have, they may or may not be discussed. And so if the meeting runs late the second day or whatever, you've got the material in the binder. It's already up on the website. And you can decide whether or not you want to even hear those items.
To be clear, you're talking about things like the enforcement report, just kind of programmatic
right.
updates that we...
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Water exactly. quality certs.
Yep.
Yeah, agree.
We have brushed those aside at some board meetings.
Yeah, I was actually proposing that we actually put some language in the agenda above that, letting the public know that we may not discuss these depending on time constraints. And that way, if you want to go longer on other things, it'll give you, you know, try to build in some, not only build in some control, but build in some flexibility, more flexibility for you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to draw this one to a close right now, because I'm going to leave in 6 minutes, and I would just like to hear the beginning of staff's presentation on the next item, unless there's any remaining questions or comments you guys want to make. Okay. All right. Okay.